Pension.
I love it.
Got double first.
Double first. Absolutely.
Well, Kate's got a good nose for sniffing out the good ones. So. Needle.
Yeah.
That is your profession. You'd be a good talent scout if this doesn't work.
Do you
want to
put one of your little...
Yeah,
the horsey one.
Yeah, let's have the horse. That horse just gone viral. It's gone mental again.
Has it?
Yeah, I've just had 6,000 followers since Thursday night.
Oh, well, we need to have...
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. This is when it goes viral, that's what it does. And it literally goes mental. But the awful thing about it is I go into my message request and it's like hundreds. And you're like, I haven't got time to go back to everyone. Then you go on your emails and it's hundreds on the email. Honestly, it's mental. It does calm down eventually, but
big
it goes
peaks,
on, yeah,
peaks.
On this massive peak. And it
that's so exciting. I love
me.
It.
And it's done it at least 3 or 4 times since March. It's done that. So it just like chugs along and then it goes right up and then it chugs back along and then it goes right up again.
You must be chuffed.
Yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It's the dream for a maker, though. That is
oh,
the dream.
Yeah. And I'm still sort of pinching myself. I cannot believe that it happened. In March, I had 40,000 followers.
I remember when we first, you were at 10.
I think I was way lower than that, wasn't I?
And then all of a sudden, I was like, look at Joel's follower account.
Do you know what it was? I looked back at you, I think you posted something about our book. You sent us that user-generated content. And I clicked back on it and looked in it and I was like, where are all these people coming from? Because you'd posted something about us, like,
yeah.
Ours just went fucking nuts for a day.
It's funny, isn't it?
A lot of people said that they'd ordered it
and stuff like that,
loads,
hadn't
they? Loads. So, like,
it's so powerful the way. Like, that is a platform, so powerful.
And I know it's not all about followers, but followers does generate income,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt.
Absolutely.
You know, the amount of people that are now ordering... Because of that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that, without a doubt. So followers do matter.
Yeah. I'm going to start this podcast completely differently to a normal day because I'm on a good train of thought now.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah. So it's interesting to say followers do matter, but why do you think people... Because anyone... I follow loads of pages. I don't buy from all of them. Mm. Why do you think that your followers are so closely linked to purchasers, people that are buying?
Probably because they are pet owners. I think I have hit a niche market.
Mm. Yeah.
And people absolutely adore their animals. If you've had an animal that's passed away,
mm-hmm.
then I think that, you know, and it's been really, really special to somebody. I don't think I realised this. Until I've started doing what I'm doing, that people have a connection with their animal that you can't underestimate that. People have been through really difficult times in their lives and the animal's been this steady companion.
Mm-hmm.
Never gives any negative feedback to you. It's always got a smile on its face,
yeah, right.
hasn't it, a dog? And so they hold that special place. People are lonely sometimes and, you know, the animal is that connection for them. It's their contentment. And so if it passes away, then, you know, quite a lot of people, it seems, want to have a memento of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really been a big impact on my business. Generally, animals... people love, you know, we're an animal loving society, I think.
Yeah.
So
more so than humans sometimes.
Definitely. And I think there's a lot of negativity between people, you know, and conflict and all of that stress in life. And animals just bring that sort of peace and tranquility, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and people just love to have something to remember them by or, you know, just that special something. I think that's why it's made such a big difference.
Yeah. Where did it come from? Like, why animals? Why felt art? Like, how? Because it's not something you, like, log on every day and see loads of and think, oh, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You are the the felt animal woman on Instagram. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You are that person.
Yeah. So in 2015... my dad passed away and really suddenly was really fit and healthy and well, and he was diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus on the Wednesday, and he died on the Sunday. We had no idea. He was in the gym five times a week. He was 73, I think he was. Really fit and healthy, as far as we knew. Anyway, of course, that sets you, you know, off down a route of quite often being nostalgic. Mm. And one of the things that they bought for me as a child, my mum and dad, that I had still got was a rag doll. Really precious to me. And it had got quite tatty. And as we were heading towards Christmas, I thought, you know, I needed something to sort of give me a focus and, you know, because it was his birthday in November, and then Christmas, it was going to be quite a tricky time.
Yeah.
So I decided I would do this rag doll up. So I kind of renovated her.
Right.
And I got so into doing it, I thought I'd always wanted to make my own rag dolls. So I started doing that. And so that first Christmas was just sunk into teaching myself to make rag dolls.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I started giving them away. You know, my poor daughter-in-laws, they were like, here, have a rag doll. Yeah. Oh, thanks. That's really what we wanted. So I started to do those. And then I went on Instagram. So that was 2018 by the time I decided I'd go on Instagram with them. So it was a bit later. It must have been 2016, sorry. People started to buy the rag dolls.
Right.
And then in 2018, so I'd been selling them for a while, mm-hmm. just, you know, chugging along, and there was an antiques shop locally that loved them, and they took them in and sold them in the shop.
Uh-huh. And you were a nursery teacher at this time,
I was
right?
I was all a nursery manager. This was my little hobby.
Yeah.
Absolute hobby. And anyone who knows me knows I was rubbish at sewing, but I taught myself to do these little rag dolls. And then in 2018, I suddenly got inspired by a vintage Christmas postcard of like a 1930s lady, and she had like a poodle with her walking in the snow. You know those classic old Christmas cards? Uh-huh. And she had a poodle, and I thought I could do a dog to go with the doll. So I went on Pinterest and I put textile dog in, and up came this dog. I'd never seen anything like it. It was by Domenica Moore Gordon, and it was a needle felted dog. I didn't even know what needle felting was. Mm. I was absolutely gripped. I just thought, oh my word, these are incredible. They're made of wool.
Mm.
So I'm so impatient. I'm literally like, I have to do it. We do have a haberdashery in Hemel called Needlecraft. I always plug them because they're a fantastic little local shop that have been there for like the whole of my life.
What they call Needlecraft.
Needlecraft in Hemel Hempstead, yeah. I'd already Googled a bit and gone on Pinterest. I knew that I needed these needles, certain barbed needles, and I needed wool. So there I was, straight down there. And they literally only had like a couple of bit things of wool. They did have the needles, incredibly. They had the needles.
Amazing.
But nothing else. Yeah. There wasn't, because it's a bit unheard of, needle felting. It's not,
you don't see very often.
Yeah, it's very unheard of.
You know, it's quite a new craft, I would say.
Is it a new craft or is it an old craft?
It's an old craft in that. I think people have made wool, things out of wool since time began, haven't they? And, you know, way back in ancient times have found that if you rub wool together, it will get matted. So therefore you'd make clothing, and felt obviously is made like that, isn't it? But actual needle felting, I think, may have come about in like the 80s, the actual craft itself of this kind of making animals and
which when you talk
like
craft that.
That
is a new craft, right?
So they hadn't actually got a lot of materials in the shop at that point. They have since now got shelves full of it because I...
Because you go in and buy it.
I do go in there and buy it, but I think other people have started to follow me that live in Hemel that go and go in and get it, and it's taken off more and more, and you get felting kits and things like that, don't you? But I wasn't hanging about waiting for that. I was like, I'm going to teach myself. I had no idea. I haven't got patience to sit and watch tutorials, so I just thought, I'm just going to copy it. In fact, behind you, you will see... But can you see by the speaker, there's a little... Yeah. Raggedy looking creature. That is my first ever make.
And that's pretty good.
And the grandchildren have loved it a little bit, so it's a bit dog-eared, as they say. But that is literally what I made. And I think I found a cartoon sort of looking dog, and I thought, oh, I'm going to give that a go. But I knew very quickly that I didn't want to create sort of cartoony type. I wanted realistic animals. Anyway, this one went with the ragdoll. And then I was addicted from the very beginning. So the whole of that Christmas 2018, I was like making one after the other, after the other. I look back on them and I think, you know, I can't believe I was just sucked in straight away.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I spoke to anyone the whole Christmas. Yeah, absolutely. And then in February, so that was the Christmas. And then in the February, I sold my first pair of dogs to a friend at work. And they are quite realistic when I look back on those compared to that one. And then it just took off. And the Instagram, obviously people started to follow. But I had an order from someone in America, then an order from someone in Ecuador, and then it just, and one other one in Australia, and then of course there were lots going in the UK. It just started to snowball.
That's incredible.
And I practiced and practiced and practiced every single day without fail. I've soon found out I was using the wrong wool. You know, this one is not made of the right wool inside its body, and you can tell now because, you know, it's a bit squishy.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the more I learned, the better I got. And I found that the better the wool you purchase, then the more realistic colours you get, the more realistic look you're going to get. It just went crazy.
I love it though.
But it's such a simple start, isn't it?
Yeah.
From a storyline, it's not like a superhero origin story. It's just like, I was interested, so I pursued. And why does it ever need to be more complicated than that?
No.
You don't all have to... I think there's this thing, especially with certain podcasts and certain industries, where it's like there needs to be this huge, big backstory and it needs to be this and it needs to be that. To all intents and purposes, even our backstory is pretty simple. Your backstory is super simple. It's like, I'm interested. Yeah. I'm going to go and do the thing and make the thing.
Yeah. And I think also if you go back even that step further to doing it out of grief.
Yes.
Making something out of grief. The ragdolls were a form of escapism, I guess, for that moment in time. But also I found... very quickly that making was therapeutic.
Oh, 100%.
And it gave me a focus. Mm-hmm. It gave me an excitement to get up in the morning and think, oh, I'm going to
what am I going to achieve today?
I'm going to learn something. I'm always into learning.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when the felting became that passion, it took over from the ragdolls because I was still working as a manager at that point. Mm-hmm. And that was 2019, you know, I couldn't do everything.
Yeah.
And people were asking for the dogs. The demand was there. And
follow the demand, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I was making donkeys and all kinds of things. Octopus, which, of course, was in the makers book, wasn't it? But, you know, I just found that it just... I guess gave me downtime from work. It was my time to just, my job was demanding and I just needed that time and that space to make at weekends and evenings. I just really enjoyed that. And then very, very quickly, we were into COVID.
Yes, of course.
2020. We were all furloughed from work for 3 months and the sun was out and I was in the garden. and everyone was on Instagram, and it just started to really grow and grow.
Good thing is you'd already started this whole journey.
Yes, so I'd had a year of practicing, and honing my skills, and then I just carried on, obviously working.
It's a good example of just start.
Just get after it. Yeah. Same just as we spoke with Dominic yesterday. Get after it. Get after it and see what happens. Like,
and you don't owe it to anybody. From your mistakes. I never beat myself up and think, oh, I should never have used that wool, or I should never have done it that way. I learned so much. I'm still learning now. Yeah. I always, you know, think to myself, oh, I've honed a skill on how to make a pour, or I've honed a skill of how to form noses, or, you know, I'm always looking to learn new things. Yeah.
Keep moving forward. It's amazing.
Had you always had something artistic, creative running through you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Early days.
Oh, yeah. So I always loved to draw, and I'm not the greatest at drawing. I just have a go. If I had more time, I'd practice, and I probably would find that I improved, like I have done with felting. But I was always making. I love sculpture. Mm-hmm. I've got a thing about sculpture. So paper mache, I used to make things out of that, and air drying clay. And then in the 80s, it was very fashionable to have like paint effects on your walls. Stenciling was big. And I used to do that for people alongside my I was always in early years because that was my education background, you know, training as a nursery nurse. And then I got a degree in education and sort of climbed up the ladder, but always doing this. And I guess when you're working with children, you know, I was enjoying doing art with them.
Of course, that's important.
Yeah, really loved all of that. I was forever painting and doing things. I used to paint china. I used to buy white china.
Right,
You could get this paint called glosses that you put in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, again, I used to sell them. I was always doing...
bits.
And I don't know, people seem to buy what I make.
It's
which always blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
It does, because you think somebody with their hard-earned money is spending with me.
Oh.
Like, it's such a feeling.
It blows my mind. Yeah. And I think even now, every single make that I do, I'm trying to give it my all, because I know that, you know, somebody has put money aside to buy something that I've created, and I want it to be the most special thing, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like that this horse, you know, that person had treasured that horse in its life, it and they loved it, and I want it to be a special memorial gift, so I give it my all when I make it.
Yeah, there's a bit more like with what you're doing as well, because they tend to be
very personal
memorial gifts. Yeah, hyper personal.
Yeah.
You're making them for someone's pet, like you say. So there's a bit of a responsibility that comes with that, isn't there?
Definitely, yeah.
What about, you know, I know you say you enjoyed sculpture, and there's two sides to the skill, right? There's the skill of actually how you do the wool needle felting bit.
Yeah.
But the skill of how you actually make it look like a horse. I could probably do a needle felted horse under your instruction. It looks something like a potato.
But
this is like a horse with hips, with a belly. Like that's a whole different thing, right?
Yeah, I do get asked that a lot because a lot of people who follow are also not only pet owners, are felters themselves. And they will say, how do you get the proportions right?
Proportions are hard.
As soon as they're even a little bit off, they're off.
Absolutely. So I have studied that quite a lot. And when I'm making that animal, the people send me photos. So I ask for as many angles that I can get, so I can see the proportion of the animal. And then, you know, I'm looking at the difference between the head size and the body size and the legs, and what's the distance. I just study it for ages to make sure that I get that right.
And that's important.
That's key, and it is key to make sure that because they've got a wired armature in them, so to make that core body underneath the top coat is really key, and if you make that as realistic as possible, then you're on onto it. Yeah.
It's like painting, right? It's all on the prep. It's all on the bit you never
definitely.
See.
Yeah, definitely.
And the bit underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's a journey though, isn't it? Like from painting China.
Mm.
It's quite a nice story for like, just try loads of things and something will stick.
Yeah.
Like, because you never went full time until very recently, right?
And it's so interesting actually that you say that, because when this time last year, I'm reminiscing a lot, because this time last year, I hadn't even told my team that I was leaving.
Really? So, this time last year?
No. So I had told the head teacher that I was going to go so that she had extra time to prepare. And then I would officially give my notice in the January.
I remember you sent me an email saying, "Nah, I've just done it."
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the coolest, that is one of, hands down, the coolest moment for We Are Makers is like, someone has just emailed us to say, I am now filled with confidence from being in your book and obviously the work that you've done. I'm going to leave my job and be full time.
That's right.
That was like a fuck yeah.
Yeah, and it
the
was
mission
a
works.
Massive, it was a massive step, but I just knew that it, and my whole family were behind me.
Nice.
You know, we'd been through the most stressful few years, hadn't we, with COVID, and managing a nursery through that time was really stressful. You know, physically, emotionally, everything was. Everything that I do, I give my all, and I try to give my all in that job for all of those years. I've been there 16 years, and you know, I was passionate about it, but I knew when it was time, when it was time to move on, and I knew that my passion was lying in being a maker. And you know, I just wanted to make that step, but I can remember thinking about this time next year, I wonder how it's going to look, and I love, there's another craft that's really quite kind of an unknown craft, certainly in our country, and it's called spun cotton. Okay. And I love it. And if there were more hours in the day, I would do more of it. It's quite big in Russia, and I think it might even originate from Germany. It's you certainly see Christmas decorations made of it. You'd know what I'm talking about if you saw it. It's quite antique-y looking, but it's made of cotton wool and starch. It's quite an unusual thing. Anyway, I thought, I could do a bit of that and I might do a bit of this. And I was really into dollhouse making. In my loft is a doll's house, a vintage, like retro sort of a doll's house, and I was going to do it up, and I had started doing it up, much to my husband's horror, that there was more stuff to be making, stuff going to be around. So I was sort of going in all these different directions, thinking, maybe I'll do a bit of dollhouse making, maybe I'll do a bit of spun cotton, maybe even some rag dolls will come back.
So at this point, you hadn't decided you were a needle felt artist, you just knew you had to do something crafty.
I knew that would be my primary, but I thought maybe I'll do a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know quite what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
But when I gave up work and then one of my reels went viral and it just took off, and then the orders started to get more and more and more and more. Then I went viral again a few weeks later, and then I went viral again a few weeks later. In the summer, I can remember thinking, I just need to stay with what I was doing. I didn't know that pets at that point was going to be the main thing.
Right.
I thought it would be octopus and donkeys were another big thing that people always loved. I did a tortoise as well. Yeah. You know, I was making things out of my own choice.
Yeah.
Because I didn't always have, I had about a 2-year waiting list, but in between I was able to put in my own chosen makes. You have got to try and squeeze those in, but there's also a balance of making a living as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in these few months since I've given up work, I've realised that the pets is the avenue that has almost been chosen for me.
Right.
And I didn't, a lot of people say to me, I couldn't do commissions, it's too pressured. But actually, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I do really love that. I don't feel pressured by it. And also some people say, but it sort of kills your creativity because, you know, Jack's asked you to do a Labrador, Kate's asked you to do a Cockapoo, and you've got to do what they've asked you to do. Yeah. but actually I'm excited by that.
Yeah.
I haven't never made your cockapoo before.
Yeah.
And I have never made, you know, whatever it is, it's a new animal to you. It's a new character. And I'm really finding that that challenge is exciting to me.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Rather than get stuck in the loop of, I like doing horses, so I'm going to do another horse, another horse, another horse.
Yeah, no, there's another animal. There's another different creature that's coming.
You're almost working, like the person you're making that pet for, they've got their own personalities. Yeah. And they're like, it's a new customer.
And they'll often tell me about the personality of the animal. So that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. But it dawned on me in the summer that I thought, all I ever want to do is get better and better at this. So I need to stop thinking that I need to go off and do
these
other things.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I will. Maybe I'll be fine with that. But at the moment, I'm happy to just put down those other crafts. So the doll's house has been put in the loft.
Yeah.
Just on hold. Yeah, it's on hold. And I'm happy with that. I just want to keep practicing these skills and getting better and better.
You can do anything, just focused not everything. On them.
That is how I feel, and I'm really content with that. And it's so weird looking back that since March that decision has been made for me,
right.
Hasn't it? Mm-hmm. You know,
The orders are coming in. Why? Yeah. You wouldn't turn them down.
No, and I'm loving it. So if you're loving what you're doing, and it's working for you, and obviously you're able to make a living out of it, then that's my focus, and I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Good.
So I never dreamt that pet commissions by itself would be the only thing, and certainly for now that is where it's at.
Do you think the commissions thing as well also brings up, like, you obviously had a hyper social job both with children and with people to make that all happen?
Yeah.
If you were just like sat here yourself, like, I'm going to make this or this or this and then put it out to them, you'd kind of lose that connection with humans.
Yeah
That must be a huge thing, is like, because they're, it's a very personal thing you're doing, so there's a lot of conversations that need to have. There's a lot of back and forward.
Yeah, lots of dialogue. You know, making sure that I've got all the information from the from the owner, and just touching base with them, making sure that they're happy with everything. And sometimes they, you know, you're making based on a photograph. That can be however good the photos are. Yeah. You don't really know the animal, and someone might say, "Oh, could you just tweak that a bit," because I always like to make sure that customers are really happy with what they're gonna receive. And you know, I always say, can you check it over, can you just, and they might say, oh, can you just add this, or can you just
this little blemish or
just
something,
add that. So I just try, and I did read this recently, which I thought was a great thing. I thought I must keep that in my mind, or my pinch this phrase. But another felter that I know said, she tries to get the closest likeness, but please understand, this is my interpretation as an artist of your animal. Mm. It isn't your animal.
Yeah.
It's mine. And I thought, oh, I must pinch that phrase, because that is key as well.
Yeah.
You know, however I've seen something as an artist, I want it to be as close to realistic as I can, and I want that person to think, oh, that does look like Juniper, my little Shetland pony.
Yeah, there is a bit of jaw in that one.
There is.
Yeah.
There has to be, doesn't there? Because it's the same as...
It's your mark, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same as looking at an artist's painting, isn't it? If you were going to look at Monet, you know, and his lily pads or whatever he did, it's his interpretation of it.
Yeah, there's a few things, the bike world being one of them, that, logo aside, I could tell when a Andy Carr Spoon Customs bikes, aside from anything.
Absolutely.
Almost from just seeing that top head tube. Because there's just certain proportions that you just know are his. Mm.
Definitely. And we have a community on Instagram of felters. And it's so lovely. We're all so supportive of each other.
Nice.
But we all comment that as soon as it comes up, we can tell whose is who.
Yeah.
I can tell straight away who's made
that's
that.
That's really powerful in that.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all felters. We could all make the same dog.
Yeah,
but I'd know. Yeah. I'd know which felter had made which dog.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How powerful is that community thing? You know, you having a lot of the other felters as community. I know a lot of woodturners turn to it. Like, community for us is the only reason this still exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how important has that been for you, especially as someone that's very new to full-time felting?
Yeah, yeah.
How have you found that?
Yeah. It's brilliant, and we all, you know, we all encourage each other. Mm-hmm. We all validate each other. We ask each other support, in even down to the business side of things.
Yeah, so you know support.
That. Yeah, you know, or pricing. You know, we're kind of obviously that's a personal and maybe a private thing for some people, but you know, you might have your trusted friends in that community that you can just say, you know, how would you do this, and would this be the best way of doing that? And you know, it's reciprocated, which is great.
That whole side of the internet and social media is so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you can be anywhere in the world and find community, which is brilliant. Bonkers.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bonkers. Oh,
yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
You know, we're just encouraging each other, which is so great. Yeah. You know, when I was in a big staff team at work, you know, you think you're going to be on your own, sat in your maker's chair, and actually you're not. It's quite interesting.
To just find your community and find that group of people who just like love what you do as well.
Yeah.
It's like community over competition, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we'll shout each other out and always commenting on each other's work, you know, and I think we all know that's how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to make an effort to post, and you've got to you know, be committed to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking, oh, I so want to encourage that person and make sure they've got comments on theirs so it picks up for them. I don't see them as a threat to me.
No.
You know.
There's enough people with pets in the world.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
It's a space for everybody.
Yeah.
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 What you're really good at on Instagram is, like, showing your face.
I was just about to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I remember when we first spoke to you, and it was like, oh, I need to provide a picture of myself, but you're really good at just getting out there now.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that journey and your recommendations to other people.
Yeah,
so that doesn't come naturally.
No, that's right. And I think somebody said to me recently, oh, how do you just talk to the camera? And I said, oh, I am a bit shy in that if my husband's around, I always say to him, can you go out?
I'm the same. I'm exactly the same.
It's like, record anything if I'm in the room.
I'm like, I hate, no, just go away.
Well, I look at people like Stacey Solomon, and she's like chats away to the camera, and then Joe Swash appears, and she's like, they're having a chat as if they're talking to the person in the room. You're not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I can't do a Stacey Solomon. I'm like, can you just leave the room and can you go upstairs? Because if he's in the kitchen, he might be able to hear me, and then I feel silly.
Yeah, so, I hear that as well.
Which is so crazy, isn't it?
But, it's bonkers, but you're right.
Yeah, but no, I guess I've, again, like the Felton community, the people who follow me have been so, so supportive. Honestly, they blow me away.
Gives
with
you
the
that
word.
Confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you can, on the flip side of that, get one negative comment that really stabs you deep, and you try to think, oh my goodness, don't, you know, it's ridiculous that would affect you.
We talk about this quite often.
Yeah, somebody wrote something like, oh, that's creepy, because I was stabbing into a dog. Perhaps it looked too real and it freaked them out that it looked real and they didn't like it. But the fact that they put that's creepy on there really, like, I'm like, I've spent hours making this, 50 hours making this animal, and now you've said it's creepy. And yet I might have had, I don't know, several thousand comments. I get lots of comments on my makes that were the opposite to that. And yet I couldn't get over the creepy one. It really offended and upset me. And I'm like, oh, I need to get over that. But those people that encourage me, and I'm just thinking, actually, I want to chat to them like they're in my lounge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have to practice it, I guess. And I, at the moment, I've just got this thing where I'm doing this Christmas advent calendar with the dogs, and people are loving it, and they've put all their Christmas tunes in you know, we're making a bit of fun of it. You know, I follow it's people brilliant. That I enjoy, so I'm thinking I need to do that for my community. But get your face out there. People want to know a bit about you behind the brand.
Because the brand is you.
That is it. Curly Joe is Curly Joe. That's me. It's what I do. And I just think people want to see me making it. You could just show your hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do show some of that.
Yeah.
Or certainly I'd encourage people, if you're shy about that, you know, maybe it'll be you looking down, making something, rather than you staring at the camera, if you feel that that overwhelms you a bit.
Yep.
But just get you... I want to know who's made that animal, who's behind it, what do you do in the day, what makes you tick, what...
I want to know your personality.
Yeah.
And your personality.
Yeah, and your passion about what you do, you know, and sometimes people want to know a bit about your lifestyle, your family, and you don't have to reveal everything.
No.
You know,
you only give away what's comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think so far that's worked for me, and it's not been a negative, apart from the very, very few people that you're always going to get in life anyway, aren't you?
Yeah,
you are.
Not panic
you
about are. That.
Dealing with that, I've not got the answer to. Certainly the way Kate deals with it versus the way I deal with it is very different. Our Instagram would be a dumpster fire if I managed it.
So my absolute recommendation is silence. I will not ever get involved in social media arguments. Dignified silence, I think the Queen used to do. I've adopted that one. And I will never respond to people. I didn't ever respond to the creepy person that said
quite
that.
Quite right.
Just don't. Just leave it. And actually, do they need more airspace if they're going to be negative about something?
They're still leaving a comment.
Made?
They're still engaging with your...
Yeah. I think somebody once shared... this was another one that said creepy. Creepy is obviously quite a trendy word. They actually had put it on their stories and said, this is creepy. I thought, oh, thanks. You've actually shared on your stories. Not all of the people who follow you are going to have the same feeling. Thanks for the promotion.
Spin
the positive.
That's a good
spin the positive. That's a good way to put it. Spin the positive off the back of it.
Yeah, I did think that was quite amusing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, they've probably no idea what they've done. They're like, oh, I'm just going to shoot this person down publicly on my story. And you're like, yes,
thanks for the next couple of thousand followers, Vina.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It is mad when you think about your journey, even since we featured you early on. Like, it is bonkers.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of people approaching you for other... You obviously get a lot of people approaching you for your Felton work. That's one thing. I know you've had some bigger names that we can talk about. But what about other opportunities that have come alongside that? One thing Kate and I are always very keen on talking about with makers and encouraging smaller makers is the making is not the only source of income. You become the brand. Like, there's other opportunities that come along. Have you... experienced any of that yet?
No, not really. Do you know, it's funny you should mention that, but I've had a few scams. That's another negative that you need to be a little bit aware of. I've had a few scams where they're so good that you think, you know, do I click on that? Do not click on the link. You know, like paid partnerships, and are they real?
Yeah.
I've had a few of those. One of them was a really good one about displaying in the Louvre. That turned out to be a scam. And I emailed the Louvre because I was a bit
suspicious.
That's
a good show, yeah.
I was a bit suspicious and I said, could you just confirm? And they said, no, it's going around and other artists have been...
That's a shame.
Caught
that's
up.
Not fair.
Oh, really? So even the Louvre said they were aware of this. There is someone running this
other
scam.
Other makers had been caught up in it, and it was so, so real looking. And then
so that was a good move. Email.
Yeah.
Send an external email directly to the source.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Like what you've done there.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit hesitant on this. Let me just double check completely independently of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's so sad that you're trying to make a living out of something. You're doing it seriously. And then you think, what is in it for them to do that to you? And you don't want to click on any links that might, you know,
pop up.
Obviously open you up to something that's going to damage your computer.
Yeah.
But there's been a few. So I'm still navigating my way through that, you know. But
it's important to say all this has been a very steep...
Steep learning curve
in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
You just sell via Instagram, is that correct?
I'm just
selling through Instagram.
Yes. So I did used to have. I've still got an Etsy account, but I don't tend to use mm-hmm. that because I think when you're doing commission work, you need to be working one to one with that person.
Yeah.
So, like I said originally, I thought that I was going to be making more self-chosen makes, and occasionally I did, and then I would just say, I've got this. Would anybody be interested in it? And they would buy it. And then the commission work has taken over. So that tends to be how it works.
And is that higher priced work as well because it's specific? There's a lot of time back and forth.
Yeah.
Does that make that a way better business model for you?
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
You've not got the risk of making something that might not catch
all those things. And you might have it on your shelf for ages, you know. Mm. I mean, I have recently I've managed to put a few little self-chosen makes because, like you were saying, it is quite important to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But what I've done is I've done what I know is the most popular breeds of dogs, so
based on the commissions you've done,
and also the inquiries that I've had. Mm-hmm. I know that Yorkshire Terriers are really, really popular.
I feel like they would translate well into needle felting.
They do lend themselves well. So I did a couple of just self-chosen ones, and it happened that people had said, "Oh, that looks like my dog." You know, it might have been made on a stock image of a dog, and those have been slightly lower priced because, again, I'm not spending hours and hours and hours studying every detail of your personal animal.
Yeah.
So that's given me a little bit of a lower price option. And I've made them slightly smaller, but mainly my commission work is where it's at, really.
And that's where you'd recommend other artists to go solidly for the commissions. Based on your experience.
Yeah, but you have to really be careful not to overcommit yourself because,
that's a thing too.
It's huge. Overwhelming. I could have a 5-year waiting list, but I've chosen not to do that. And that's been a big change. That's been one of the biggest changes that I've made, I think, since we started. I was a bit scared of this in March when I gave up my job. I was very scared of letting go of my waiting list because it's that sort of security that, you know, income is coming mm-hmm. for the next year. But actually, it's also overwhelming to keep it that long.
Yeah. Knowing that you've got, you just feel under pressure.
Yeah, you
do. That's how I'd feel.
Yeah, so I decided then to open windows,
mm-hmm.
Sort of an offer, a group of commissions,
right.
And book those in, and then I'll open another window later in the year and book in a few more weeks of commissions and do it that way.
That's quite common in the tattoo world. Open books, closed.
That's right.
Open book, closed book. Books are closed, open. Aye.
That's right.
Keeps people interested as well.
Well, yes, because if I was following, thinking, oh, Jo said she's got 5 years, I'm not going to wait that long. I want my dog making now.
Yeah.
Now, some people have said it's like winning the lottery to get a place. But you're in there trying, aren't you? And you've got as much chance as anyone else.
I wonder if that also boosts the engagement because then those people that really want it, they're going to pop back very often because they're like, oh, what if I've missed their post?
That's
so they'll visit specifically.
That's really
exciting.
It's actually quite a nice tactic because people are like, I'm going to go back and visit to see when she changes her status to...
Yes, that's right.
Books
open, yeah. So that I think has worked well so far for me. And also it keeps it more manageable that you think, oh yeah, I know I've got, you know, six to make at that date. And, you know, they're all, if you overwhelm yourself, that's when commissions get a burden, I think. Because if you get behind,
you're trying to catch up, and
then you're stressed because you can't keep up. And I'm quite strict, you know, I'm quite organised with my time. I'm strict with my day. I know what I'm doing. It's in my diary what I'm making that week.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like you're a good businesswoman too.
Well, I don't know. I just fumble my way through.
But in an organised fashion.
Yeah.
Like, you're very clearly like, start time, stop time, organised fashion. Even this morning, the quick reel you put up was like, oh, I don't know what tonight's reel will be. Like, you know there's a reel going out every night.
I have to be religious about that because I know that that's what I need to do to keep that algorithm happy at the minute. That is what it likes.
Because you're on that curve, aren't you? As long as you're on that curve, just stay on it.
Just stay on it. It's working well. And, you know, that's definitely the answer.
Yeah.
But don't overwhelm yourself with commissions. Yeah. Leave those gaps in there. You know, you might find that you've been poorly one week and that you need another week to do that piece of work. But as long as financially that works for you. My husband's the spreadsheet person, so he literally has got them. I had them in my diary, but he's got them in, you know, all put in there. He's got the prices and everything, so he knows about the income of it all. I'm definitely not like that. I'm definitely the fuzzy creative brain.
But that's good to have.
That's good to have that second side of it.
Yeah.
That's really powerful to have that second side of it.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, the spreadsheet, and I don't need to know income numbers, of course not, but like, is it working for you? Having taken that jump, is it working for you?
So I would say since I started, and we, you know, looking right back at that very first mate, that couple of dogs that sold, over the time as I've increased my skills, I've crept up and crept up and crept up.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, and then I knew that I needed to earn a certain amount to make it work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I guess that might have been a shock that the price went up quite a lot for some people and they declined, and that's fine. And others said, absolutely, we're behind you. We want to see you do this full time.
That's
a lot of people on my list who had thought that they were getting it for a certain price stuck with it. They just said, no, we want your work. We want you to do it full time. They were right behind me. It was incredible.
So nice.
Yeah.
That is like the maker's dream.
Yeah. And it was a significant jump.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, it wasn't just like £50 different. It was a big difference. And people were just behind me.
But those that's people, how much they value your work.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Those people knew that support, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're getting a product for it, but it is financially supporting you.
Yeah.
Allows you to do this for other people.
Yeah.
Which gives those other people the same feeling as they're getting when they're receiving one of your things.
Yeah.
What a great community of customers you've found.
Oh, it's just, they're so encouraging. And, you know, they value the effort and the, you know, what's gone into making that animal, which is just so lovely that they're willing to put their pennies behind me and support me. So grateful.
Have you ever thought about doing courses and showing other people how to do it?
You've talked about this.
Yes. Yeah. So I get asked that all the time. Would I do a course? It's managing the time. And because commissions are my focus at the moment, that's that for now. I did juggle with this. Am I going to do courses as well?
Yeah.
And like I said to you, it was a case of saying, I'm not going to do dollhouse houses. I'm not going to do spun cotton. I'm going to focus on just doing commissions.
Right.
And I've had to shelve the idea of online teaching. I'm actually a bit burnt out by teaching, I think, as well, from leaving my job. So perhaps that will come. Yeah. I'm just enjoying the making.
Too right. You've not been, you know, only been in full time for a year. So that
only been in full time for a year, which is bonkers.
Yeah. so I'm not really wanting to stretch myself to do that, but certainly there is a desire. I know that people would buy the courses. But I just know what would go into making them. It would be a huge amount of work. And at some point I would like to do that. But and also I'd like to do a book, and whether or not I do that.
Do a book.
Print's
not dead, do a book.
No, absolutely. And I've had a publisher be in touch, which wasn't a scam, may I say.
Oh, that's always
on the same day that I got the Louvre, I got the book. The agent.
50% real then, right?
Yeah, who is real and who is not? Turns out the agent was real. I think he was a bit, oh, excuse me. Because when I spoke to him on the phone, I was like, how do I actually know you're not a scam? He's like, because I haven't got time to scam. I'm just trying to do my job.
Yeah.
Once he knew what I meant, he was like, no, I get what you're saying. And he's been really great. So, so we'll be in conversation in January when I can get my head round what needs to come next. But you know, he'd seen me on Instagram, was like, you need to do a book, Joe. We need to try. I'm convinced that this will work. I'm a bit overwhelmed and scared by it, but who knows? I'm going to have to put that in my diary for next year. That'll be going on the spreadsheet as well. Yeah. Fit that all in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a lot.
It does scare me a bit. And be a tutorial book.
A tutorial book. Cool.
Yeah.
That feels like it's going to take even longer, though.
Yeah, see, I like the idea of like a coffee table. In fact, I did say makers. I said, look, come on, this is what I want. I want to be like make. He's like, no, Joe, that is not going to work. You're not going to be able to do that. You need to do, if you're going to do a art and craft type book, it needs to be a tutorial because people want to buy that and they want to learn.
Okay.
They don't want to just look at pictures of your sculptures. It's not enough.
Hmm.
So
yeah, I guess there's a benefit of like them buying the book so they can learn, and that's where it's going to become popular.
Yeah, yeah. So I took his advice on that.
He obviously knows the industry. It's what he's
done,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I do trust that he does because I've seen what he's produced and what other stuff he's done. Yeah, he definitely knows.
Well, that's really exciting. Well done.
Thank you.
Just make sure there's a bit in the book for you to tell your story at the start, because a lot of these tutorial books are just.
He said he wants that.
Good.
People want to know. You know, Joe can come from there, from having not a clue, never even heard of that craft, to doing what you're doing now.
Yeah.
This is why I keep this first time make, so I can always remember where it came from.
Pictures should be in the book too.
Absolutely. You can do it too.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this is where it started. This is where it is now, front cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much has happened in this whirlwind.
Yeah,
it not just shows that it can happen.
End of March, that'll be a year. Yeah.
Very impressed.
And it's all credit to you just sticking out and trying to get. I think the theme of all this is, no matter what we talk about, the very clear theme is that you've been like, well, I want to get better tomorrow than I was.
Yeah.
It's that, like, always. That really cliche.
Hungry to learn.
Yeah, that really cliche, just it's you versus you, be 1% better.
Yeah. And just hone your craft. That's really what I've had in my head these last few months through the summer. Hone this craft, get better and better at this, focus on this.
Yeah.
The spun cotton can come whenever.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Well, exactly. It's no big deal, is
there?
Yeah.
No.
But what about just sitting here all day, every day yourself?
Oh, my word, I love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I love it. I think when you've run a big team and had all those pressures, and I know I've mentioned it several times, but COVID did take its toll on a lot of people, and I think I was one of them. I didn't have a day off for 5 years.
Wow.
No, and I've hardly had a day off before then, but I caught COVID twice in my two Christmas holidays last year and the year before. So we only get, you know, that time off at Christmas where we shut the nursery once a year, and I got COVID 2 years running.
How's that possible?
I think it was like, oh, you can rest now. Oh, yeah, let's get COVID.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
You probably had it for a long time before that. It's only because you switched off and de-adrenalised.
Gosh, yeah. So actually, I just love it. I just love it. I have not looked back.
That's so good.
I absolutely love it. And I'm, like I say, I'm quite organised about my day. I have exercise every day. So I you know, because I sit still a lot,
yeah,
and
you need to move.
Stiffening up. So I've every day I go out for a walk, and my son's personal trainer, who said, "Mum, you cannot sit there with your shoulders hunched, stabbing, repetitive, you know, work all day. You've got to get out." And so I've put that into my day. Every day I'm out for a walk. I walk for an hour, and then I'm back. And I might work through the evening, but I'm watching the telly or whatever. And
that's what you say, is like, as long as that's in your schedule, you'll do it every single day. As long as it's scheduled, penciled in there.
You have to be like that.
Yeah, we've got it in the diary. Like, this is the time we stop to go to the gym. Like, I don't care if we come back and sit on laptops after.
But do it.
But do that. Because obviously we speak to people in all different countries. We do need to be available. We've got a call Friday at like 10 at night because we're speaking to someone on the west coast of America from a company. And it's like, you have to make time for that.
Yeah.
But that block of time, no matter where you're in the world, that block of my time is
yours.
My time.
And that's organisation, isn't it? Yeah. You just be organised, then you're not so stressed.
There's a longevity thing to that as well.
Yeah.
That you taking yourself out for a walk every day, and you know, you could, rather than going an hour walk and doing your exercises, say that an hour and a half, you could do that extra hour and a half's work every day.
Mm.
And I have this discussion a lot with people, certainly in my previous job in engineering. You could do that extra hour and a half every day. But if that means every second week you need to take 2, 3, 4 days off because you're just burnt out. Or then it even get, you know, it might take a month before you burn out the first time, or 2 months, or 3 months. And then, but that time just gets smaller and smaller. And then before you know it, you could be sitting down for 2, 3 weeks, just you're done.
Yeah.
You need to take that time for you.
Yeah.
No matter how much you love what you're doing. It's made a massive
difference, yeah. And actually, I'm always planning on that walk, right, what am I going to do on stories tomorrow? What's going to be my...
Yeah, it's productive time. Yeah.
All the time. Uh-huh. You know, I'm always planning what I'm going to put up next.
And that's good. Like
that's what we do. We don't walk with off. We work out what needs to be done next. Yeah. For the, like, that's remind ourselves what needs to happen next, when the next travel is.
Yeah.
Like, have we got visas for this? Have we done this? Like, what does all of this look like?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just can't do it when you're sat in front of a laptop.
No, you never bring your head up, do you?
No, and breathe.
Breathing space.
And breathe. Yeah.
What about holidays and stuff? I know you've only been doing this for a year.
Yeah.
Have you thought about when you're going to book time off for holidays?
Yeah, we do. We always do. And we've booked them in.
Good.
This is the spreadsheet person in my life, remember?
That's amazing. Right. Everyone needs that.
He books a holiday in. And I do take my needles with me. I do, because I quite enjoy it. So that's fine. You know.
Me and Dom were talking yesterday about how jealous we are of people that have got crafts that they can just take it with them.
You don't have to have a workshop specific for it, because you're just at your kitchen table, right?
Doing
your work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's,
you know, and I don't think anyone should choose a craft based on that. Like, choose a craft based on what you love and what you're good at.
Yeah, just so happens that I can do that.
It's just really handy, right?
Yeah.
It's really, really handy.
Yeah, and I don't travel abroad. So somebody said to me, how do you get needles on the plane? I said, I don't go on the plane.
Yeah.
I'm not really an abroad person.
Yeah.
You know, we're happy to travel in this country. Yeah, hence that Scotland's on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Well, come up. We've got a spare room now. Well, I need to finish all of downstairs and lay floors, but we'll have a spare room. At least that bit's done.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to wrap up and get some pizza.
I need to get the oven on.
So, Kate.
Yeah, I've got one last question.
Yes.
What advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, man. Gosh. It's so hard. I've toyed over this one because I spent 37 years in early years. So right from school, my passion was to work with children. My mum would tell you, right from when I was a young child, I was obsessed with babies. So that was my passion. And I went with that passion.
Yeah.
And then it opened up that you could do a degree that then meant you could go from being an NNEB, Nursery Nurse Examination Board, which was the qualification that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
You could then transfer into teaching.
Yeah.
Or management. Now, I went down the management route because that was what I really wanted to do. And so I did a degree in education, but there was a pivotal moment where I thought, and I was painting people's houses. Well, I remember I said to you about the stencils in the 80s. I was doing that. People wanted me to do that. Do I do a degree in education or do I do a degree in art? And I was so tempted to do the art. And in the years gone by, when it's got really hard in education, I've thought, why on earth didn't I do art? Why did I do? But at that point, we needed me to work financially. We had teenage children and I knew that to be able to keep doing what I was doing, I needed to get that degree, and I did that at that time, and it paid off because I could actually earn money, step up in that industry, and then do my craft as my own hobby. But then that started to take off. So in the end, both have come about. And I think, don't kick yourself. I would say, you know, all those years where I've said, why didn't I do this? Actually, we needed to do what we did. Yeah. So don't, it will come about in the end.
Yeah.
The timing will come when the timing will come.
When it's meant to happen, it'll happen.
And it did.
Yeah.
What's for you won't go by you. That's what my mum says.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. And just keep, you know, if you're not financially at that stage to be a maker permanently, keep doing it, you know, your passion in your own time, and don't stress, it will come.
No, and that's proof that you're proof that does happen.
Yeah. Amazing. And you do need to take a leap of faith sometimes, and it is scary, but You need to plan it. You need to plan it and not underestimate. I would say also don't underestimate what your of the value of your work. Otherwise, you'll be a maker for 6 months and then you'll be back.
That's what you talked about before we came here. Like you need to price and you need to make it work as a business.
Yeah.
You know, you need to enjoy what you do, but it still needs to provide for you.
I don't apologise for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the real takeaways from this conversation is like you say, I'm putting my prices up. You guys are on this. I'm putting my prices up because I need to.
Yeah.
And the people that says, oh, well, like, they were never your customers anyway.
Exactly.
Like, value to me is not attached to price. Value is attached to what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So if I feel that I need to pay that to get Joe to do that, then that's what it is.
And you will sadly lose some of those people who would have been saying, I would have bought it for this amount, but I can't afford it for that amount. And you will always lose those people. Mm-hmm. And in some ways that's sad, but also I won't be here.
Yeah.
I won't be here to do it.
You couldn't make a living off of those people.
So now I am high end and I know that only a certain amount of people can afford that. But I couldn't be here to do it at the lower end. I'd be back in the nursery again and on half the amount that I was makes that I was doing because I couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
So you have to be realistic.
That is a big thing. You have to be realistic about it.
Yeah.
Well done, you.
Thank you.
Exciting. Well, thanks for inviting us.
I'm so glad we're here, like, however many years later.
I know.
Edition 4. What are you on now?
We just launched 8. We're planning 9.
Yeah, see.
Because we've gone quarterly now, we're doing it 4 times a year. Yeah. So, but it's good. I think, Lena, you know, we're trying to go to more the editorial side. So it's a bit more of like what we're up to and how our missions go.
Still have all the makers' stories, of course.
Yeah.
But just changing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
We're going to do some more deep dive stuff. We're talking to a few people on deep dive odd crafts.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Amazing. Right, there we go.
Wicked. But we'll wrap this up. Thank you ever so much. We'll hit
my pleasure.